Hey, it's Errol on iHeartRadio. From the CLTComedyZone.com studio, we are unplugged and totally uncut with Bobby Collins and my really, 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 and I miss her so much, good friend, Pam Stone. Oh, guess who's here?
Oh, what are you doing,
who's there?
You got to put these on and see who's on the opposite side there, mister.
Who's on the opposite side?
I got underwear older than her.
You know that laugh.
Look at that beautiful. Pam, how are you?
Baby, I am flawless as always. How are you, sweetie?
Oh, girl, you can make a train take a dirt road. That's how pretty she is, inside and out.
You know, you'd think after doing this for what, 25, 30 years, Bobby could find the freaking headphones. What's wrong with you?
I can't find a damn thing.
He can't keep his microphone up.
How's those horses of yours? I see those pictures.
Yeah, you see that? I just came out of the barn like an hour and a half ago doing my morning routine. Just mucking and feeding and getting slobbery kisses. It's all good. How you doing?
I just came out of the barn, too. I was in Florida. I got to tell you, JWC, Jews with coats. You know, they look like penguins walking, quack, quack, quack. Oi, oi, you know. You know how they are. Average age dead.
You know, I know, you know, and you know what drives me crazy, Bobby? What drives me crazy is you know how we all, as we all get older, we start facing our mortality, yes. And all of a sudden these new little sayings start popping up so people feel better about getting older, and they say, you know, 50's the new 30, and 70's the new 50,
right,
and I'm like,
right.
Yeah, and dead is the new 80. Is that what it is?
Look at us. I'm peeing as I'm talking to you. How's your mom?
Oh, well, now you're going to feel awful.
Oh, no, don't. Don't do that. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. Oh, she was a good, good lady.
Yes, she was, and thank you for asking, because, you know, she had good innings. She lived to be nearly 93. And you want to hear something really cool?
Go ahead.
You're going to love this. I get these little gifts from her. You ready for this?
Go ahead.
Okay, so this is going to give you, like Jennifer Lopez says on Idol, goofies. So the week before Christmas, that's the thing you Jews work around. So I get the mail in, and I'm sitting at the kitchen table, and the first envelope I pick up is from the IRS.
Okay.
And it's like, it's a bill for a grand. It's a bill for a grand from a mistake I made on my taxes. Like, you owe us a grand. I'm like, right at Christmas.
Right. You don't need that.
I know. The second envelope I pick up is from her old brokerage company saying, you know, after her estate was settled, there was this check that was never cashed, and it was dispersed to all four of us kids, and it's like each of us gets a grand.
Oh.
And I'm like, and then get this. Yeah. Arrow, you ready for this part? The letter, even though it was postmarked December 20th on the envelope, the letter was written October 14th, which was her birthday.
Oh,
really?
Okay, that's a good one.
So now fast forward. Is that a goosey? Did you get a goosey?
Yes, that's a good one. I got a little pushy, too. Go ahead.
So Valentine, like the day before Valentine's Day, I'm emailing a friend of mine back and forth. My friend lives in England, and she has this horse that had a tendon injury.
Okay.
And she wants to bring him back really carefully so he doesn't re-injure. And I said, hey, do you have a copy of that book called The Injury-Free Horse? And it's got all these great exercises, the way to stretch their legs and stuff before you ride. And she said, no, I don't. I said, let me get that book, and I'm going to mail it to you because this will be great for you. So I think, where the hell is that book? I haven't seen that book in like 2 years. It's somewhere in my house, and so I'm looking through bookcases and boxes. I finally find it next to my bed under a stack of other books. I pick it up. I open. What falls out? A Valentine's card from my mom who'd sent that to me several years ago.
Wow.
And
for whatever reason,
I stuck it in that book several years ago, and I open it up, and it says, Lovingly Mom, the day before Valentine's Day.
Oh, she's keeping an eye on you. Yeah. Listen
she
to
is
you.
So,
how great is that?
I'm telling you.
Oh.
I'm telling you.
I got a little goose on that. Got a little goose pimples on that.
So what have you been up to? Arrow and I were just talking when you right before you came in, saying you would be the perfect game show host.
Oh God, I'm and I've been offered some things. I'm out in Santa Monica. married 25 years, two kids, daughters, you know, that one of them, yes. I have a little special needs daughter.
I know that daughter and how well yes. she has done besides all the odds.
And next Wednesday night on the 18th, and I'm still, me, Paul Reiser, David Spade, they, you know, the guys are coming in. I try to get a bunch of other guys, but everyone's doing something. I talked to Howie Mandel yesterday. He's going to be doing that America's Got Talent, whatever. He's flying to New York on Tuesday. Yeah. I try to get Drew Carey. Drew, he's nuts. You know Drew. He's a great guy, but he's off married now.
Is he married?
Yeah, he married a girl. They're going down to Florida. There you go.
Was she? No, tell me that. Was she a stripper?
No. You know everything.
All his girlfriends, from as long as I've known Drew, every girlfriend was a stripper.
Let me ask you, sir, how come you're not doing any more stand-up? Or are you?
I do, because I have the horses and I can't go away for a long time. I just do corporate stuff. But not a whole lot, you know, just enough where I can, like, you know, at the most, I'm away one day because Paul gets really pissed off if he has to clean stalls.
Right. I just finished the corporate in Sarasota. Whoa.
Lovely.
I know. And you could tell they weren't that high up on Brain Mountain. When you talk to him, you wanted to say to him, why don't you roll your head around so I could hear that marble going around. I opened up, it was a small crowd, but they were paying me really well. You know how they are. Next thing you know, I said, hey, I usually don't work for such a small crowd. So in closing, and they just sat there, like, what do you mean you just got there? You know, I'm going, okay, we found the level of this room. Do-de-do-de-do.
You're like, let me adjust your truss so you get a little more flow to the back of the brain.
I know.
That's us. That's us in 25 years.
I know. Isn't it frightening, Pammy?
I tell you. I mean, and do you start, because you live in Santa Monica, you're not considering ever moving to Florida, right?
No, never.
Yeah.
And I still have my place in New York, and I do a lot of, last year I did 39 theaters, but every once in a while I cram in a comedy club. Because next week I'm over at State Theater at Eastern PA. I'm taping a new DVD. This is what we got to do, everyone. So I'm working the comedy club here to, you know how you work it. Three shows, two shows tonight, two shows tomorrow. Jesus, I'm not used to it. You know, that one table screaming off to the side. Nobody from the club goes over and tells them to shut up. So you have to handle it, you know, and then you look at them working and you go, hey, can you shut them up? You know, look like the post office.
And we should tell people, in case they ever hear it, Arrow, it's very common when you work a comedy club that there's usually a phrase that you say from the stage.
Thank you.
If you can't handle a heckler, or you're just sick of the people, they just won't shut up.
Right.
Generally, the phrase is, "What is it, Bobby?
Can I get a drink, please?
Yes. Can I get a club soda? Can I get a club soda?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then if they don't do anything, and I've had this happen, I've had the waitress bring me up a club soda.
I know.
And you know, and then like about 2 minutes later, hey, can I have a club soda? You know, and you got like six on
the
stool.
Right. It's different when you're going back to the comedy clubs. You know what I mean.
Oh, yeah. But it was a lot of fun. And speaking of clubs, and I hope you can make it, but I'm sure you're already booked, we are having a private farewell party next Sunday, March 22nd, at the Punchline in Atlanta, because they are closing their doors.
They're
going to reopen.
About that.
Honey, you got to message me on Facebook and I'll send you to the page they sent up.
I heard about that. Isn't that, what's his name? Tepeda, right?
Tepeda and Jamie, and you know, I mean.
God, we've played that place for years.
Oh, yeah. So what they're doing, they're reopening. I don't know where the new location is going to be, but they're taking the walls of the green room and putting it in the new place. Because we should tell Arrow about that. I mean, the Punchline was one of the premier clubs in the country.
I know.
Top rated, sold out all the time, incredible audiences. And, you know, Steve Mitchell, local DJ, made a documentary about that called If These Walls Could Talk. And we said, those walls better not freaking talk.
Oh, no. Those were the days.
We're all coast and bail. I left that place with a limp. Let me tell you that.
I smoked my body weight in pot back then.
the debauchery out of the Punchline.
And look at us now. I'm peeing again right now.
Yeah. We were like young, and being comics in the 80s and 90s were the closest anybody came to being rock stars.
You know,
I mean, it was just nothing hotter, nothing bigger. And
it's changed. You know, people ask me now, and they go, how has it changed? You don't, I think they're all looking, using comedy for something else, and a lot of them is not good.
Right.
I have a comic, I got a guy that opens for me in theaters. My wife found him. She says, Bobby, come in here and listen to this guy. His name is Chris Roach. And I got to tell you, he's an ex-New York cop. I saw him in this club, Governor's, on Long Island.
Sure.
I stopped in to say hi to him because I was working right near there. 6'7", the guy. His father's a cop. His sister's a... I said, why'd you get out? He was hysterical. And I asked him, and I said, hey, listen, I do about 16 theaters on this coast. I go, I'd like to try you out for 4 or 5. I go, how much would you take? He says, oh, no, Bobby, I'll do it for free. I go, no.
What?
This is a business. Business. It's show business. You know, yes. I said, I'll give you $500 for the first few, and if it works out, I'll give you $1,000. He grabbed it. We did it. It's worked out. One night, Pam, he said to me, as we're coming back from a Jersey theater, he said, Bobby, could we stop in Manhattan at one of the clubs, like the Cellar? I go, oh, I'm sorry. You're not, you know, he's from Long Island. He wanted to get into that whole New York scene. I said, absolutely. I take him down to a small club on 3rd Street. It's like the hot one. We go downstairs. The owner, Bobby, would you go on and do a few minutes? Nah, we're just here. This is Chris Roach. Introduce him, you know, get him around. We go down and watch the show, Pam. The first 3 to 4 people were horrendous, but the audience were like these hipsters. They were cracking up. And he's looking at me, and I'm looking. I go, you ready to get out of here? You have more in your fingernail than all these people. They're not funny. I go, you got the funny in you. He couldn't believe it, coming from Long Island. He thought the New York comics were way ahead of the game, and they were going to be the hip and the cool and the clever. They weren't. They weren't funny.
It's, and I'm glad to hear you say that, actually, because I was wondering if it was just me becoming an old fart.
No, it's not that. No.
Because when we came up, and here's the thing, now we do sound like, and I'm an Episcopalian, but now we do sound like a couple of old Borscht Belt Jewish comics bitching about these punks today. Right. But when we came up, our peers were Leno and Seinfeld and Dennis Miller and Paul Reiser and Paul Provenza and Tommy Koenig and Carol Leifer and Lane Boosler, and it just, these stars, everybody was incredibly solid. And And I look at comics today, and of course I'm not on the club scene, so I don't know who's coming up. But I see these comics on TV, and I'm like, really? All right, you just got a 6 minute segment, and that's the best you had to pull from your act?
No, listen to me. You're going to get a kick out of this one. I got called in for another Hollywood thing, a possible talk show. They're looking at me as the next Regis type. Me, the Regis with the hip young girl. I know. It would be fun. The first thing, I said to the guy, how old are you? Because we went in for the meeting. He goes, I'm 27. He goes, can I ask you something? He goes, I'm a fan of yours. I go, thank you. He goes, how many Twitter followers do you have? I said, you know what? I got to go pick up my wife. I'm out of here. I left. They were like, did I say? That's all they care about is how much you can bring to the table. So they're not looking for quality. They're looking for just what you can bring. It's sad. Look at television.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. And the thing is they're asking you Twitter when you could say, tell you what, this is how many theaters I did last year, 39, all sold out. Why don't you add up all those people that I performed for?
Thank you.
That come and spend their hard-earned money to see me, and those will be the same people that will be tuning in to watch your show. But they don't. They go purely by social media, and that's just the way the business is pushed, and that's all there is to it.
And when they're watching The Housewives of New Jersey, this is where you bring that jihadi Johnny in. Take these people's heads off, because you don't want them in your audience. You know, we got to start thinning out the herd. The gene pool could use some chlorine.
Yeah,
it's sad.
You should ask arrow what people meters are. That's the whole thing in radio now. See, well, a lot of people don't realize this. People that listen to radio, they think it's still like, you know, in television, it's Nielsen's ratings
right,
stuff. And there were always the Arbitron ratings in radio. They don't do that anymore. Arrow, tell Bobby what a people meter is and how ratings are gathered from radio.
You could have six radio stations lined up in a row, and each radio station you're walking by, they're going to get a hit. So even though you're walking through a record store or you're a record store there, that shows how old I am.
Yeah.
Or you could be walking through, let's say a Walmart.
Yeah.
And if there's a different channel on every one of their stations, it picks it up and that's who gets the credit.
How sad.
And even though that's not even your favorite radio station, you would never even listen to that, but they're getting the credit for it.
Pam.
And Bobby, that's the thing. They give these people, how many people do they select for a ratings period to wear these actual meters on their body all day long to get ratings?
Do you remember we used to go to any town, Charlotte, here, where, Punchline, Atlanta, New York, Chicago. Anytime you went, you knew which radio guy you were going to go on. He's been there for 20 years. He's great. He's number one. They're all gone, Pam.
They're all gone.
Clear Channel, this one, that one. They all took over, and they're telling them, "Just we don't want you to talk much. Just have the Comic-Con for a minute and a half and just play the music." And da, da, da. And it's just changed. These guys, now they're MCing shows at the theaters.
That's exactly right. I mean, and it's like that's why this show that we're doing right now that Arrow's got is a fabulous show because it's available now. Anybody can go straight to it and listen anytime. And then we got full creative control here with this.
That's great. That's great.
It's a really inventive way to go about it.
Well, it's pretty cool the way people go. When is it on? Well, on iHeartRadio, you're never late.
Yeah.
It's whenever you want it. You can always tune in. You can come back as many times as you want. And that's what I love about it.
I've done three stations already today and two televisions. We got another one to do. And the radio. Okay, we got Bobby Collins coming in. Bobby's going to be here right now. Hey, Bobby, how you doing? Two Jews walking to the bar. Boom, boom. That's good. Bobby's playing tonight at the Comedy. Goodbye. Thank you. Do I want to do this? See, here we're talking about substance. We're talking about how things have changed. Hello?
They're not allowed to talk now. They're not allowed to do more than like, I mean, how much, what is the standard station now, Arrow, like if you do like a 12, 13-minute break, how much of it is allowed to be talking now as opposed to the music?
Oh, for the radio. No, that's you know, it was probably 10 years ago where I thought that I was tired of being a babysitter on the radio.
Oh.
And it was time to go, because if all I was going to do was promote something that had nothing to do with that moment, it was not fun. And that's where doing her show was so fun, because we could physically get creative, and she gave me that creative control. I was like, "What? You're letting me have fun?
Yeah.
The hell's wrong with you, girl?"
With these people meters now, though, they only allow the on-air personalities to talk like
7 seconds or so,
a 12-minute break, and the rest of it's got to be music. So it's exactly like you said, Bobby. It's like, come on, Hal, you're going to be here at the Comedy Zone.
I know.
And you're done.
I know.
Like,
they asked me at a recent station, they go, hey, can we change things around? Bobby, would you stay for another segment? Okay, another 4 minutes. Hey, Bobby, how's your wife? My wife's Italian. She's hairy. We vacuum a lot. Okay, Bobby, you'll be over at the, you know, like,
yeah,
oh my God.
That's it. It's
sad.
That is the way it's gone, and I can't believe that they're getting ratings for making people. Number one, who the hell volunteers to wear a damn meter on their belt?
Morons. Jihadi Johnny,
exactly.
Let's cut their heads off. Because look what we did. You know, hey, Pammy, the average two-year-old, can open up and unlock an iPhone and go to the apps they play with. I was telling the audience last night, when I was two, got my tongue stuck on an ice tray. Ma, ma, ma. She goes, are you a moron? Ma, ma.
When I was...
When I was three, I ate dirt. What is this? Are you kidding me?
But you know what? But that's why you didn't have any damn allergies.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
We ate the dirt. By God, that's what's wrong with kids today. They don't eat any freaking dirt.
Thank you. Look at them. They're morons. They can't cross the streets without their iPhones. Tweaking, twerking. Hashtag. Wasn't that the old tic-tac-toe?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You go to McDonald's now, and on the cash register, they don't even say. They have pictures of the food. The employees hit a button that has a picture. They're going to be, you know what they're going to look like in a couple of years? Remember those chickens at the state fair that you put a quarter in and they play the piano with their beak like slamming their head on the thing? That's, you're going to walk into McDonald's. These kids are going to be slamming their head on the register. Right.
I walk across the street in L.A., and it's a pedestrian state. So if a kid walks with his cell phone, walks out in the street, I'm driving the car, I have to stop immediately.
Yeah.
They don't even lift their heads up. We were brought up, look both ways down a one-way street. I edge right up to him. New York, a red light is just a suggestion. So yes. I edge right up to him. My wife goes, Jill goes, what are you doing? I go, hey. The guy lifts his head up. Hey. I roll down the window. LOL. LOL, you're a moron.
OMG, yeah. OMG.
I know, they don't get it. They're social mitzvahs.
We're not using our brains at all. We're not using any brains.
Isn't it sad? They're doing everything.
It's going to get to the point where archaeologists dig us up in 100,000 years. It'll be this tiny little pinhead with this giant freaking thumb.
Right.
I walk in
restaurants. They order, and the 10 kids, and they start with their iPhones, and I'm looking at them. I'm going, can I get a grenade for that table? Because they're not adding to the planet. They're taking away. It's sad.
Oh,
they're
God.
Meeting people online, a Match.com, Tinder, this, that. They don't, we went face to face. You looked at a guy's or a girl's eyes, you went, oh, wow, you're a moron. Never mind. Everyone's lying. Yes, I'm a great person. Yeah. And, you know, I have.
Well, and they don't see that. That's what the thing is, too, because when you talk to somebody online, you have a relationship with somebody online. What people don't realize is that the person on the other end could absolutely be a serial killer who went crazy over your last post, but
right.
took a walk, composed himself, sat down, and wrote back beautifully. Whereas if you knew that person in real life and you
right.
saw him just blow and go nuts by
right.
something you said, you'd be like, you're a psycho. I'm out of here. But
right,
then you'd
right.
to tell, oh, look how thoughtful he is. Oh, look at what he wrote to me.
Right.
Oh, he's so sensitive.
Right. I know. And you hear the clicking noise in the back as he's loading a gun. These kids are morons. They don't get it. I got one of them like that. I got one of them.
What are we going to be like? What are we going to be like when we move to Sun City? I mean, what else are we going to bitch about?
I know.
I mean, now we're going to be bitching at people that are like 50. We'll be bitching about people that are 50. He's freaking 50.
Right, right. He doesn't have a white belt with those white shoes. He's not matching.
He has no idea how to do shuffleboard. He has no idea.
Oh, my God. I need another. Here's one for you. I flew into PBI, West Palm Beach. To do a show. You know, there's one or two wheelchairs for the elderly. 28. Yeah. There were more Jews on my plane than in Ben-Hur. The tower was in the shape of a walker. No wheels on the plane.
God.
Yellow tennis balls. This is what's going on in this country.
Oh, my God. And I want to know, what I want to know, too, is how does Facebook, I guess they look at our birth dates. Because you know the ads down the side of the page on Facebook? All of a sudden, all I'm seeing down the side of my Facebook page is like offers for skin tag removal. What the hell is that?
You know, I've been lucky.
What the hell is that?
I know. I've been lucky. You'll get a kick out of this. Theater owners come over to me. You know, they don't know. They just care about the bottom line money. They go, I got to tell you, your audiences, we've never seen such a cross-section of different ages. We get everyone from like the 20s to the 40s to the 60s to some dead people. You know, I go, oh, thank you. You know, that's their paying you a compliment now.
That's right.
It's frightening. It's frightening.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Bobby, this has just been so fabulous. So fabulous catching up with you. And the only reason I'm breaking away now is because I have to go shovel more horse shit.
Go Hold it. I'm taking a shit now. Oh, that's cool. Hey, honey, I love you. I always will. We will talk again, and I'll see you on Facebook. At least I'll be cracking up. Take care of those horses.
You bet, baby. Kick ass tonight.
Thank you, darling.